Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings two additional disputes between Abai and Rava regarding this asek, preoccupation. So the first case is, if someone intended to throw an object 2 amos, but he threw it 4 amos instead, Rava says he's exempt because he didn't intend to throw it 4 amos. Abai says he's allowed because he intended a throwing of some sort. And case number two is, if someone thought he was throwing in Rishus Yachid, but he finds out it was actually in Rishus Rabim, Rava says he's exempt because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. And Abai says he's liable because he intended some type of throw, and the Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all three disputes between Abai and Rava. Case number two, the next Mishnah in the Perek enumerates the Lamed Tes Melachas. The breakdown is, we have 11 Melachas related to preparation of bread, 13 melachas related to the processing of wool, 7 melachas related to the preparation of leather, and 8 melachas related to construction. 11, 13, 7, and 8. 11, 13, 7, and 8. And point number 3 is Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in the floor of his house on Shabbos, but requires only the earth, is exempt, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds malchus shein tzricha l'gufa chayvela. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for its divine purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds of that ruling when the person is mesaken, he's rectifying something, but when he's mekalkel, when he's ruining something, he's exempt. And in this case, the person is ruining his house. So once again, let's review. Point number one, the Gemara brings two additional disputes between Abai and Rava regarding mesasek, preoccupation. If someone intended to throw an object 2 amos, but he threw it 4 amos instead, Rava says he's pati because he didn't intend to throw it 4 amos. And Abai says he's chayiv because he intended a throwing of some sort. And the second case is, if someone thought he was throwing in a Rishus Yachid, but finds out it was actually a Rishus Rabim, Rava says he's pati because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. And Abai says he's liable because he intended some throw. And the Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all three disputes between Abai and Rava. Point number two, the next mission, the Perek enumerates the Lamed Tes Melachas. We have 11 Melachas related to preparation of bread, 13 melachas related to the processing of wool, 7 melachas related to the preparation of leather, and 8 related to construction. So 11, 13, 7, and 8. That's 39. Then we have point number 3. Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in the floor of his house on Shabbos but requires only its earth is patur, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds melachas she'ena tzricha l'gufa chayvela. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for its defined purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds of that ruling when the person is mesaken, he's rectifying something, not when he's mekalkel, ruining something. In this case, the person is ruining his house. All right, so now it's time to go to our siman. Once again, a lot of great choices. The most popular, of course, was egg, or variations like egghead, Humpty Dumpty, and egg farmer. We had Uggs, the brand. We had igloo. And the other popular choice was Og Melch Bashan, King of Bashan, but I want to stay away from biblical figures. So I'm going to go with Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona, who suggested a giant ostrich egg. Giant ostrich egg. So that's going to be our simon for Ayin Gimel. Thank you, Charlie. So here goes. The ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, while reciting the Lamed Tes Melachas by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their house to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. So once again, in slow motion. The ostrich egg challenge. Ostrich eggs, that means we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, which reminds us the Gemara brings two additional disputes between Abai and Rava regarding mesasek preoccupation. If someone intended to throw an object 2 amos, but threw it 4 amos instead, Rava says he's patur because he didn't intend to throw it 4 amos. Abai says he's chay because he intended a throwing of some sort. The second case is if someone thought he was throwing in Rishus Yachid, but finds out he was in Rishus Rabim, Rava says he's pati because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. Abai says he's chai because he intended some throw. The Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all three disputes between Abai and Rava. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, while reciting the Lamed Tes Melachas by heart, which reminds us of the next mission the Perek enumerates the Lamed Tes Melachas. We have 11 melachas related to the preparation of bread, 13 melachas related to the processing of wool, 7 melachas related to the preparation of leather, and 8 melachas related to construction. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, while reciting the Lamed Tes Melachas by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their houses to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in his floor in his house on Shabbos, but requires only its earth, is pater, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds, Malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa chai v'alel. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for his divine purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds of that ruling when the person is mesakein. He's rectifying something, not when he's makalko, ruining something. In this case, the person is ruining his house. So once again, the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, while reciting the Lamed Tes Malachas by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their house to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. Now it's time for a four blah back Hazara. Daf Samach Tes. So the sim for Samach Tes is chimney soot. So here goes. The chimney sweep covered in soot. Soot, that reminds us, we're on Daf Samach Tes. The chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, which reminds us there's a Malchokas Amorim regarding what one does if he's walking on the way in the desert and doesn't know which day is Shabbos. Rav Huna said he counts 6 days and observes the seventh day as Shabbos. He holds that a person should count like the creation of the world, in which there were 6 days before Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav said he first observes one day as Shabbos and then counts 6 days as weekdays. He holds a person should count like Adam, just as Adam was created on a Friday and the next day was Shabbos, so too the person should count the next day as Shabbos followed by 6 weekdays, but his opinion is refuted. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, which reminds us, Rava states two halakas regarding the case when someone traveling doesn't know which day is Shabbos. The person can only work on the 6 days to provide enough sustenance to stay alive. The Gemara asks how the person is supposed to survive on Shabbos with no food and revised halakha that he can also work on Shabbos and distinguish the day from the others via Kiddush and Havdalah. And secondly, if the person remembers how many days ago he left, but doesn't remember what day of the week it was, he can perform Malacha on that entire day. He cannot assume, though, that he didn't travel on Erev Shabbos, giving him 2 days to do Malacha, since sometimes a caravan is available and a person will depart on a Friday. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, and hoped the Rabbanan would consider him a shogeg. Which reminds us, there's a Malchokas Amorim regarding what qualifies as a shogeg to be liable chatas according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the punishment was karis, even though he acted b'mezi. Reish Lakish holds that one is only considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the act was prohibited and had the penalty of karis. Not fine. So on this daf, I'm going to make a number of fixes here. So the first one is that one of our members wasn't sure what a cyclops was. So when he went to check, he discovered that it's a figure that comes from Greek mythology, which I was not aware of. So we're not going to go with cyclops. We're going to just change it to a one-eyed Martian. Okay, so thank you for clarifying that. We're going with one-eyed Martian. Secondly, Eitan Raps from Kriyat Gat, one of our Zichru members, pointed out that I hadn't identified a second element in the siman to trigger the idea of Malkus for Lo Savaro Eish. I just used the idea of kindling fires for point one and point two. So I'm going to add that in so the one-eyed Martian's going to have a whip in his hand. And finally, the first point of Chilk Malkus, I just want to make clear, we're pointing out here that it has to deal with how do we know one is liable as separate chattas for transgressing each malacha done b'shkaga inadvertently. So here's the siman as a whole. The one-eyed Martian stomped around town, checking to make sure people were not kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos with a whip in hand, and reminding people they can't write a shin mem for Shimon. So once again, the one-eyed Martian, that means we're on Daf, Ayin. The one-eyed Martian stomped around town, checking to make sure people were not kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara presents three different sources of the concept of chilk malachas, that one is liable, a separate chattas for transgressing each malacha done inadvertently. One of the sources brought by Rabbi Nassim, who learns it from the Pasuk, Lo Savaro Eish B'chol Meshvosechem Yom HaShabbos, you shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings on Shabbos. The reason kindling a fire was singled out, even though it is included in the general prohibition against performing Malacha, is to teach that just as kindling is in a Malacha, and one is liable for violating it, so too one is liable separately for violating each of Malacha. So the one-eyed Martian stomped around town, checking to make sure people were not kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, with a whip in hand, which reminds us, Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Nassim that the pasuk of Lo Savaro Eish, you shall not kindle a fire, was singling out the malacha of kindling to teach chilak malachos. Instead, he holds like Rabbi Yossi in a brisa that says, L'lav yatzas, kindling was singled out to be a mere prohibition, meaning it was singled out to teach that for transgressing the malacha of kindling, one is only subject to malchus, lashes, not skila, stoning. So the one-eyed Martian stomped around town, checking to make sure people were not kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos with a whip in hand, and reminding people they can't write a shin mem for Shimon. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina expounds on the two mems on the pasuk that introduces the various chatas offerings, va'asma achas mahina, and he will do from one of them. The word achas alone would have taught that one is only liable for the malacha of kosev writing if one writes the complete word that he intended to write. Me'achas teaches that one is liable for carrying out just part of one's intention, such as writing Shem from Shimon. And secondly, the word Hena would have implied that one is liable for transgressing an av malacha. Mehena teaches that one is also liable for transgressing a tolda as well. Daf Ayin Aleph. So the symbol for Ayin Aleph is a donkey going E-R. So here goes. The donkey going E-R, that means we're on Daf Ayin Aleph. The donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, which reminds us, if one reaped and ground produce the size of a dried fig, a grogeris, b'shogeg, with regards to Shabbos, but b'mezid with regard to the malachas, and then he did it again, but this time b'mezid with regard to Shabbos, and b'shogeg with regard to the malachos, if it became known to him that the reaping he did b'mezid with regard to Shabbos, and b'shogeg with regard to the malachas, and he set aside a chatas to atone for that reaping, Rava says it also atones for the first reaping, even though the first reaping was done b'shogeg with regards to Shabbos. He holds it's like two acts of eating chalav during the same lapse of awareness. He then uses the principle of gereris, of drawing along, to enable the chatas to atone for the first act of grinding, since it was done with the reaping in the same lapse of awareness of Shabbos. Abai takes this a step further and says the principle of gereris can be used a second time and enable the first act of grinding to now draw along the second act of grinding, so that it too is atoned for with the same single chatas. So the donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, when it bumped into its owner who just discovered he had eaten multiple prohibitions, which reminds us, a Mishnah from Crasus was brought that taught a chumrah of multiple prohibitions over multiple transgressions. If one ate one piece of chalev and then another in one lapse of awareness, he's only liable one chatas. But if he consumed chalev, blood, noser, and pigo in one lapse, he's liable for each one. The same Mishnah also taught a chumrah of multiple transgressions over multiple prohibitions. If one eats two half kazesim from the same prohibited food, he's liable for a chatas, their mitzdarif. Whereas if he ate them from two different prohibitions, he's not liable. So the donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, when it bumped into its owner who had just discovered he had eaten multiple prohibitions in two different times. Which reminds us, if one ate two kazesim of chalev in one lapse of awareness, but discovered them at two different times, Riochan says he's liable to bring two chatas offerings based on the pasuk al chataso vehevi, for his sin he shall bring an offering, indicating that he's liable to bring a chatas for each transgression. Reish Lakish says he's only liable for one chatas based on the pasuk machataso v'nislach lo, from his sin, and it will be forgiven for him, indicating that even if the chatas was brought for some of his sins, he is totally forgiven. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here we go. Number 1. Which stuff you learned that if one intended to lift something but instead cut something that was attached to the ground, it's a dinamis asik. That's on Daf. Ayin Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff we have the Malchokas regarding what the Rabbanan Shita is regarding Shogeg on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Samech Tes. Great. Number 3. Which stuff do we have the Machlokas regarding if one intended to throw something 2 amos, but instead threw it 4 amos, whether that's considered Mis'asek? That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn about Levi coming to Narda? That was on Daf. Nun Tes. Great. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that a biris, a leg garter, is Tahora because it serves the sock and not the person? That's on Daf. Samech Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn about a kavod to the avda? Emblem is worn by slaves, and which ones can be worn out on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Nun Ches. Great. Number 7. Which stuff do we have the Mishnah listing the lamed tes malachos? That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Great. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn about Rebbe Meir's shita that women wear tefillin? It's not a mitzvah zaseh. Shazman Grama, that's on Daf. Samach Beis, great. Number 9, which stuff do you want about the concept of Goreres? That's on Daf. Ayin Off, great. And finally, number 10, Which daf do we learn that the right comes before the left? That's on daf. Samach Aleph. Good, excellent. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number one, which daf do we learn about the sources for Birchas HaMazon, the various brachas? That's on daf. Memches, good. Number two, which daf do we have the Machlokes regarding what tree was the Eitz Hadas? That's on daf. Mem, great. And finally, number three, which daf do we learn that one can learn next to someone of the Zoreach Ra She'ein Lo Iker? That's on daf. Chafe, excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.